Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's right. Please call in if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up. And this is Michael Dean on Michael Dean After Dark, which you're listening to. And we do have a feisty, rotating guest stewing on a spit right now. We got JJ. How you doing, JJ?
Doing all right, Michael. How you doing?
Good. Do you want to say where you are geographically on this big blue ball we call home?
I am in Popcorn Sutton Country in the Appalachian Mountains.
Cool.
Right outside of Asheville.
Isn't that where Moonshine and Pirate Radio comes from?
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's where the Appalachian. Yeah.
Basically, if the government's against it, they like it there. Something like that, huh? You hear that cat? That cat meowing, that's part of the radio show. So yeah, we got a call-in line here. If people want to call in, we're going to open it up right from the start. And if people don't call in, we don't care. We'll talk. Because, you know, it just doesn't really matter. We'll say whatever we want to say. The call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. So tell me a little bit about that part of North Carolina. I mean, that's kind of like, it's getting a reputation like the Austin of the South, you know, of the East South, and also kind of getting a reputation as like, the new New Hampshire or something, the new Liberty place people are moving to. Is that how
that
it is?
That is correct. We have the Blue Ridge Liberty Project sponsored here. I actually didn't know they were here until I think about 3 years ago. And it's the area's got a long – I think you've had Bill. Is it Bill Buepert? Is that right?
Yeah, he's on a lot.
He talked a little bit about the Appalachians. We've had a long history of self-reliance and people that they could – care less about having the government involved in their lives. And it was a natural fit for these guys to come down and start living here. They've done well. They're a lot younger than I am. I'm in my 40s now. But they are active in the community, and it was a surprise to the Democrats in town that the Blue Ridge Liberty Project's libertarians are now more of a political force than the young socialists and young Democrats in this area, Western North Carolina.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, they'll tell you, if you don't like things, get involved in the political process. And then you get involved in the political process. I heard Ian Freeman talking about this today. And then, like, if you show up at the county meetings and raise your hand and talk, they're like, get out of our process. Do you see any of that happening there?
They're pretty inclusive. We've had a huge influence from the Burning Man community in our area for quite some time.
Wow.
So inclusiveness is part of the culture. So even if they really don't like you, they welcome you to come in. It's really odd.
Pretty neat. Isn't a lot of the I don't like the government attitude there going back 100 years or more to where there were regions that were so geographically isolated that like they didn't know or care that Washington, D.C. existed?
That's correct. One of my favorite stories is about a young lady who was very happy growing up in the Appalachians. She was 6 years old when she first ran into a missionary. She said, we were happy, and we didn't know we were poor until the missionary showed up.
That's funny. So what do you guys do for kicks around there besides shoot guns and drink moonshine?
We actually have a strong artistic community, and that includes artists that escaped from New York and New Jersey to move down here in addition to Appalachian artists. And there's just a pretty diverse set of culture. The Cherokee Reservation, the Eastern Band Cherokee Reservation, is just right up the road. There's a ton of whitewater rafting in this area. People go rock climbing all the time. There's just massive amounts of trails. And in addition to Appalachian culture, there's kind of a metro culture that's in Asheville. And people, it's a beer city USA practically. I think this is the second year in a row that we've been called that. And so people drink a lot of beer. Apple cider started to show up on the scene. So it's a pretty amazing place to be.
Are there a lot of microbreweries there?
There are. I would say there are about 60 microbreweries
wow.
in town.
In town. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, that really does kind of sound like the Austin of the Southeast. So what's a typical Saturday night there?
A typical Saturday night in this area would include a lot of music, going out to see a ton of bands, maybe even three bands. People drink. I don't drink a lot, but a lot of people do drink around here. And there are pool competitions. The hipsters play ping pong. We have a huge hipster population here. And there's competitions in that particular regard. There's chess tournaments late at night. Out in the mountains, there's God knows what the hell people are – I'm sorry. God knows what people are doing out there. So.
Yeah. So they haven't banned chess on the street yet like they have in San Francisco?
No, not at all. They actually encourage it. Most of the places that I've gone into around here, they like to have chess players. They think it's part of – adds to the ambiance of the artistic feel of the town.
Did you know about chess on the street getting banned in San Francisco?
I heard you talking about that on one of your Freedom Fiend shows. I couldn't believe it when I heard
it's mind-blowing. Yeah, because it's you know, that city has, for a long time, like over 100 years, had an international reputation as the kind of like, you know, anything goes as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. And playing chess on the street, on the sidewalk, out of the way of people on a wide sidewalk certainly does not hurt anybody. But yeah, man, I call it Ban Francisco because they just want to ban everything there. And that's the problem with relying on politics. You know, I saw this thing recently. It was there is a U.S. senator. He's from the South. I don't think he's from your state, but Joe Manchin. Do you know who that is?
I do know who that is.
Where's he from?
I don't recall right off the bat. One of the guys that's in the House here follows him pretty heavily.
He's from West Virginia. Yeah, he's a Southern Democrat who got elected by being strong on gun rights and strong on being anti-federal government, which, you know, is kind of the Tea Party's been doing that forever. Or you know, the Tea Party, basically the Tea Party, here's what the Tea Party is. It's very watered down, like seventh generation Barry Goldwater, but it's not even Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater had a script writer named Carl Hess, who was literally an anarchist, who used to smoke hash and write speeches for Barry Goldwater. And Carl Hess actually penned the line that is commonly attributed to Barry Goldwater that all Tea Party people love to quote. And that line is something like, you know, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And then there's a corollary to it. And that was Barry Goldwater didn't come up with that. That was Carl Hess. And then Barry Goldwater kind of started this whole let's limit the government Republican thing. And, you know, they tried to, the Republicans tried to sell it. It didn't go over too well. LBJ said that guy's going to get us nuked. He's going to start World War III. And then LBJ sent a bunch of kids over to die in Vietnam. And, then the Republican Party got John Wayne to get, his buddy Ronald Reagan to quit being a Hollywood Democrat and read the script and play the role of a Republican. And they kind of took the anti-government stance that Barry Goldwater had gotten from his scriptwriter, the anarchist Carl Hess, and, you know, had Reagan saying feisty things that I can't argue with at all. Like, you know, the scariest sentence in the English language is, we're from the government and we're here to help you. And Reagan talked a great talk, but he was, you know, he basically ramped up the war on drugs. He had his wife posing on a tank in South Central L.A., basically saying, if you put things into your body we don't like, we're literally at war with you and we brought a tank. And, you know, he fought a bunch of unnecessary wars and stole a bunch of government, a bunch of money from the people and increased the size of the federal government immensely. These guys love to talk the talk. And it got to the point where, you know, a couple of years ago, even the Democrats were picking it up. And this Southern Democrat, Joe Manchin, you know, put this video on YouTube where he was using a deer rifle and shooting Obamacare, like literally took the bill. It wasn't the bill. It was probably a summary of the bill because it was only about 2 inches thick. And the bill is, I don't know, about 20 inches thick. And he shot it with a deer rifle. And he said, it's time for us to take a stand against this federal Leviathan or something. And people voted him in because that's what they wanted. And he immediately backed Obamacare. Soon after, he added gun control laws. He was the opposite of everything he said he was going to do. And recently, he made a complete buffoon out of himself by saying, we need to ban Bitcoin. We need to completely outlaw it right now. Outlawing Bitcoin would be about as easy as outlawing water, literally, because it's everywhere. and it's as fluid as water. It cannot be stopped. I mean, yeah, you could shut down a few exchanges, but you cannot stop people from using it among themselves, and it's really big. And he tried to say that, and the reasons he gave were ridiculous. He said, it can be used for crime, and it can't be traced. The same thing is true of $100 U.S. bills. Absolutely. They can be used for crime, and they can't be traced, very easily. People can pass them among themselves. Anything, commodity, gold, silver, bags of weed, bags of bullets, any commodity that people want can be used to buy things. So he was absurd. And the thing I'm getting to is I saw on the Bitcoin forum a bunch of people saying, getting a petition together to try to tell Joe Manchin not to say we should outlaw Bitcoin. And I just steeped in the absurdity of people trying to tell someone like Joe Manchin, who's a typical politician, he's just a little bolder and more obvious than most of them, trying to tell him he doesn't even know what Bitcoin is. He's never seen it in action. He probably thinks, like the TSA does, that it's little shiny badges in Dottie Barker's pocket. And, they don't know what this stuff is and they want to ban it. He is as absurd as that lady who said, we need to ban barrel shrouds. And when asked what that was, she said, it's the shoulder thing that goes up.
It's up.
Joe Manchin is that absurd. But people actually think they can petition their representatives with the prayer of a petition. You cannot petition your representatives, and they'll do what they want, man. What do you think?
A politician's a politician every time. I read about the governor, I believe, of Wyoming, as it was. I think it's the senator, one of the senators in Wyoming, that went on a stance to say that he was pro-gun, but then turned around and started working with mayors.
Oh, that's our governor. That's our governor. And Nima Vedati and I helped him get elected by filming him shooting guns and getting him. But, we have him on camera lying, and he's not doing what he says he did. No, we went shooting with that guy. It was fun. He shot my revolver. It was cool. We'll be back. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and this is your host, Michael Dean. And it is undoubtedly after dark. It's 11:23 here in Wyoming, broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And over there in the Appalachian Hill Country, we got JJ. And I was telling before the break that I'd gone shooting with my governor and gotten him elected. I don't know if we got him elected, but we actually had something to do with it. And I feel ashamed of that because I was involved in politics, but more so because he's turned out to be such a politician. He is such a say one thing to get elected and do another thing once elected. I mean, the guy is a federal prosecutor. He's a former federal prosecutor. He's a guy who measured his life before being the governor of Wyoming. He measured his life in how many people he threw into a cage. And a lot of them were not really criminals. They were like someone who 10 years ago, they had a bag of weed. So they had a felony and they don't even do weed anymore. They don't even do the weeds anymore, but they, they carry a gun to protect their family. And this guy loved to throw people in prison for things like that. So they're all bad. And John was telling me during the break that he actually has a politician in his family, a guy who was a John Spratt, who was a congressman from South Carolina from, let's see, he was in office from 1983 to 2011. Man, they can't get rid of him once they're in there. So tell me about this guy.
He actually turned out to be one of the better Democrats that I grew up with. I did grow up in a Democratic family, and there's a fair bit of control that goes on in families that are raised Democrats. Like when I was a child, I wasn't able to own a anything other than a 20, not a 22 rifle, but anything other than a 410 shotgun. And that was pretty amazing. And they would never tell me why. They told me the 22 was too powerful and I wasn't allowed to have one.
Well, that makes sense until you're about 12 maybe or 10. But
well, they had other reasons for it, but they were scared that it would fly off the farm and hit somebody else's cow and drop it dead. And
that's not really an issue if you know the four basic principles of gun operation. Keep your finger off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. Beware of your target, what's behind it and what's beyond it, or two of them. Don't point the gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. And then there's another one about targets. What's the other one about targets?
Well, you want to make sure that whatever target you're shooting at, that it doesn't go through and out the back.
Yeah.
I think Colonel Jeff Cooper came up with those four rules.
Yeah.
We have them posted at our house here. We have an air gun out back that people can use to shoot cans. But yeah, growing up with Democrats was ridiculously controlling. Now, he himself, I didn't spend as much time with him. He did make my recommendation to go to university. And
you mean he wrote you a letter or he just told you to go to school? He wrote you a letter.
He actually wrote me a letter. I went to a college in Charleston where you actually had to have a letter to attend.
Well, la-dee-poo. Okay, come on.
And
Charleston.
It was ridiculous. But at the same time, you grew up in the control system so much in a political family that when you finally do realize, I went on the road and started touring with musicians about 2001, and I went on the road with a bluegrass band, and that's when I started to realize what true freedom was about. They weren't always trying to cajole you into doing something. They were a bluegrass hillbilly band that also played jazz and funk.
Nice.
But like I said, John did not have as much involvement in our lives growing up, but every time that he would come up for an election, the family would get together and man the polls and make calls and go do mailers and make sure that he got elected.
Beat up Republicans. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, back then, the Republicans really weren't that big of an issue in South Carolina where we were at. So it's kind of it more turned into a red state a little bit later.
Well, you got to remember too that the KKK were Southern Democrats, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
the Klan was mostly Democrats.
Yep.
And people forget that all the time. That comes up with gun rights issues. There's a guy that does a podcast, and he's a black guy. And if I'm not mistaken, it's Black Guy with a Gun.
That guy's great. He's a friend of mine. He did the. That's Pastor Ken Blanchard.
That's right.
He wrote the foreword to my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, and voiced it on the audiobook. We'll be back with more of Jack Johnson talking about, isn't that the name? That is the name of two politicians on Futurama, Jack Johnson and John Jackson, right? Yeah. We'll be back with more on this break.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting from somewhere I can't even tell you. I can't even find it, man. I don't even know where I am. I can't find it on a map, and you cannot find it on a map. The NSA thinks they know where it is, but they don't really know because it's two houses over. Because I switched the addresses on my house, so they'll be confused. And, you know, they're pretty good for government work type people would not get the right house. Hopefully they won't drone my neighbors, though, because they're good people. Because it's Wyoming, and there's a lot of good people here, and they don't mess in each other's business, unless they do it by proxy with politicians. So, JJ, Jack, John, Jack Johnson, John Jackson, you were telling us about politicians and their influence on your young life. Go ahead, man. Correct. Tell me more about it.
Well, the biggest thing that I noticed was that they were prevalent. They were always there, from the relative that was like a magistrate to one of the relatives that served on the state Congress, not the U.S. Congress. And you always had to mind your P's and Q's. Like, I could never do anything wrong. If I went to town to go grab a cheeseburger when I got in my teens and got my permit, everybody paid attention. And if I did something, my dad would hear about it. So, because somebody would call back and tell him. So when I did I actually went into the Army before I went to college to kind of get away from that environment. But political families and political life, it's you're under a microscope all the time. So they keep their own in line more than they keep anybody else. And that's something that, especially amongst Democrats.
So you went to college and you went to the Army. Were they trying to groom you into politics? I mean, that sounds like, every politician ever had that background.
The college in question, yeah. They were wanting me to be a lawyer. I got out of the basic, and then I was in the infantry, and then later in college, and right around the Gulf War. And the Gulf War ended right as I went into college. And so what they wanted me to do was to go into pre-law and finish that up and sit for my exams and then go get my bar. I ended up actually taking accounting and computer science. And what I diverged from there was I went into journalism.
Good.
And I found journalism to be a lot more up my alley. There was a situation going on where the college campus had allowed for cars to be searched. And I wrote in the paper that I did not believe that it was correct for the cars to be searched, and I thought it was unconstitutional. At that time, I felt that everybody would take my point of view because it made fairly good sense. It's private property. It's not the – I found out I was wrong. People wrote in from all over and said, no way. They said I was not being a good little boy.
What were they searching for?
They were generally – there wasn't – on that particular campus, there weren't a lot of drugs, so it was basically guns. They didn't want any of the guys going to – it was guys back then. But they didn't want any of the guys going to this campus having any type of firearms in their car. And when they would find somebody with firearms in their car, they would expel them. So wow. It was a big deal. Yeah.
It is a big deal. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big issue now is guns on campus and I don't know, man. I mean, the arguments are so incredibly obvious to me. It's like people who say we don't want guns are basically saying we want a place where people know there's no guns. And if someone starts murdering people, we have to call someone with a gun and wait for them. It's just That's absurd, right. man. But, I don't even really think about that stuff much anymore. I guess you do because you're kind of involved in an organization. We're not going to name them because you're on this feisty radio show, but you're involved in a gun lobbyist organization or education organization, would you say?
That's correct. That's correct. Part of it's a legal team that goes out and finds legitimate federal cases to bring up in court. The other aspect of it is an activist side that goes and talks with gun owners that are in – well, in my state, I work with gun owners that are here. So if Mothers Against Freedom, as we call them, if they're in town, then I'll pick up the phone and I'll call all the gun owners that I can to let them know that they're there. And we actually try to reach out to them. We had a situation where he had a Navy SEAL. He's a good-looking guy. And we would go up to these disparaged mothers and we would say, we're going to take you to the range for free with this good-looking guy here who's got his shirt off like Putin. And say, come on out to the range. And that's how we would get women away from this organization set up by the illustrious Mayor Bloomberg.
So you use sex appeal to seduce them into not all gun owners are bad.
That's correct.
That is awesome.
We use anything at our disposal. The problem that you have in a town where there's a lot of socialist and liberal people, I'm referring to here in the town that I'm right outside of, they tend to fall for the arguments that a lot of these anti-gun folks bring up. Like I go to a bar here in town and I saw that there was a concealed – you're allowed to in the state to carry concealed into a bar if you have a permit. That's another story. But what they do is they say, okay, what – your legal alcohol content is your limit. So if you're there, you can't get sloppy drunk. Well, there are several bars in town, and the only bars that restricted anybody from carrying a firearm into them are also the only bars where there have been a murder. And the one bar in question I took a picture of, because you can send it to a website, the North Carolina Gun Group here has a place that lists all the restaurants that don't allow you to carry, so you can boycott those restaurants.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I was listening to Free Talk Live today. They were talking about how a lot of these laws that are forced on private businesses, like, okay, you can't smoke, or now in LA, you cannot vape, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's harmless. You can barely smell it. It's kind of like saying you can't have steam coming off you. You know, if you come in from the cold. And, you know, Ian pointed out that a lot of times the owners have to end up being the cops. Like, you know, you're in a place where there's no cop for miles, and the guy behind the bar has to be a cop. He has to say, I'm going to call the cops if you don't put out that cigarette, when nobody cares. And, you know, or you're out, let's say you're out back or something, you know, outside behind the bar where they have a little area where you still can't smoke. And, you know, they have to become the cops, and they have to say, I'll call the cops on you, my patron, my friend, if you don't put that out. That's ridiculous, man. It's, I don't know. I haven't done this kind of like arguing about nannies lately, because I've been so removed from it, because I've been working on meowbit.com. Basically, I've been building the roads. You know, someone asked me today, like, they wanted to interview me, and they're like, you know, so is this Meowbit thing about shutting down ICANN, you know, ICANN, the people who dole out the .coms and .nets and can take them away? And I said, no, man, it's not about shutting them down. It's about routing around them, which is what I like to do. You know, it's you can't fight the monster, but you can, like, build, you know, 100-mile-an-hour railroads, you know, like light rail around them before they can even see what you're doing. They're like dinosaurs lumbering in the tar pits, chewing on their own tail while sinking and going extinct. And it's just so easy to, it was kind of like when I was in a punk rock band. It was like, you know, people are like, oh, so you want to destroy the major labels? And I'm like, no, man, I just think they're boring. I just want to do my own thing. I actually ended up signed to a major label despite having that attitude. But I never had an idea of, like, destroy the major labels. That's an immature attitude. It's an impossible goal. I want to look at the government the way that MySpace is. I want to turn the government into MySpace. MySpace is still around. It still has 100 million users, but none of them have logged in 6 years, man.
That's correct. I recently checked in 2 years ago. So, now, you were in a punk rock band. That's how I actually got introduced to pirate radio, was through a punk rock band. And
What band?
The name of the band I can't repeat over the air. The guy that actually started the band, people could look up, it's Decline Thinletter, and he had a radio station called Frequency 13. I worked for a radio station in South Carolina for, I would say, about a year, and he says, hey, man, you want to come and do something really cool? And he ran that station with a girl by the name of Flux Capacitance. So I would get off work at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, kind of like now, and go down to his house, and he had this transmitter in this remote place, and he would heat this thing up, and he would play Black Flag, Jello Biafra, Dead Milkman, stuff I hadn't heard of growing up. And I found myself suddenly immersed in the punk scene, and people were drinking a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I had a really good time. But that's when I first learned about libertarian values.
I do want to talk extensively about pirate radio. You used to do that in Europe, right?
Correct. When I was in Europe and living abroad, I got involved with a lot of the pirate radio people. Not the lady Radio Caroline or anything of that nature, but just in general.
Yeah, I mean, Radio Caroline is kind of the Led Zeppelin of it. And what you were doing was like the 10,000 punk rock bands that rose up to, you know, despite Led Zeppelin later. That's kind of, you know, like, pirate radio when it's done. And I'm not recommending anyone break laws. You know, you should check the laws where you are. And we're talking about something that happened on a different continent when you were, you know, an expat over there for a while. But it's kind of, if it's done right, it doesn't step on anyone's toes. You know, if it's done with a filter, if it's done a low pass filter, if you don't go near anyone else's frequency, if you don't overmodulate, it's using unused space, man. But the government just wants to own all that. But we can't recommend that. But I want to get into that in a technical and theoretical sense a little later, but I want to talk a little bit about the punk rock thing. Why is it, And in your experience, did you find this true, that all these people who in the 80s were in these bands that were like, Smash the State, Anarchy Man, you know, I Hate Reagan, the government's horrible, those people are all voters now and like, oh, you got to get out and vote for Obama. Like NoFX had this whole like rock the punk rock vote thing. Punk voter was their thing. And it's really disgusting to me that these people cannot see that Obama is as bad as Reagan, if not worse. Mm-hmm. He's as bad as Reagan, but he's worse because people think he's hip and young people like him. It's ridiculous.
I noticed that with a lot of punk folks that I knew. One of the guys went off to college and became an administrator of the college that he was at. And he, to this day, still participates in the punk rock scene. I can safely say that Flux and Decline have never, ever gone that route. They have stayed true to their mission, for lack of better words.
I mean, Jello Biafra taught me to distrust the government. And, you know, his problem with Obama is not that Obama's bombing wedding parties, like it should be. His problem with Obama is Obama hasn't kept his promises and nothing's really changed. You know, basically, Obama's my tyrant, but he hasn't been a good enough tyrant. That's Jello's complaint. That's ridiculous, man. That guy taught me more about life than my dad. Listening to Dead Kennedys taught me to not trust any authority. And now that guy is like, yeah, man, Obama, he needs to be a better speaker and get more people behind him. This is my band Bomb right here. We're going to be back with more on this show. I almost said the Freedom Fiends, but it's not.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean. This is Michael Dean After Dark. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, broadcasting directly into your cerebellum and broadcasting into space. And we were talking earlier about politicians as family members, and John Spratt was my co-host tonight's Jack Johnson's John Spratt was his relative, and I'm looking, and actually he was succeeded by Paul Ryan. So if that kind of puts you into his place in history, people know who Paul Ryan is for sure.
That is correct.
Yeah, unfortunately. So so we were talking about pirate radio and punk rock during the break, and there's a band called Corrosion and Conformity that was from North Carolina. They're pretty popular, and they're kind of interesting because, well, to me, because my name is Michael Dean and their bass player singer was Mike Dean. I actually met him the day he was fired, and they told me about it 5 minutes before they fired him, or a couple hours. My band Bomb was playing in Raleigh at the Fallout Shelter, the DMZ or whatever the name of the punk rock club was there. And the promoter, after soundcheck, said, you got some time to kill. Why don't you go over to Corrosion and Conformity's house? It's right down the street. And I went down there and knocked on the door. And they were, I guess they were having a meeting where they just decided they were going to kick their bass player out and replace him and their singer, Mike Dean. And I knocked on the door and I said, hey, Karen told me to come down and hang out with you guys. My name is Michael Dean. And they said, Michael Dean, do you play bass? And I said, yeah. And they said, do you sing? And I said, yeah. And they said, come on in. But they immediately realized I wasn't the right cat for their band. And then I was a bike messenger with that guy, Mike Dean, in San Francisco later. He's a good guy. I liked him. He's kind of crazy, but kind of cool. So they were a a bold band, let's say, because I remember they put out a record. It was actually a compilation. It was this is so punk rock. It was a 7-inch record that was a compilation with like 5 bands on it. Like, that's how short songs were back then. You know, I think it was a 33, but it was like, you know, an 11-minute compilation record with 5 bands on it. And the cover of it was the Stars and Bars, you know, the Southern flag burning. That takes guts. You'd be a lot safer in the South and in North Carolina putting a burning American flag on a record. But they didn't even do that. They put a burning Southern flag on their record, man. That is inviting murder, isn't it?
It is. They were actually more on the edge than Unknown Henson and Southern Culture on the Skids, which are two bands you're probably familiar with. You know, Unknown now has the gig on Squidbillies, but we grew up going to go see Unknown. Corrosion of Conformity, that particular band, I did not hear about until 2000.
Great name, Corrosion of Conformity. I love that name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you said you knew those guys pretty well when you were in the punk rock
scene? No, I didn't know them pretty well. I just was at their house when they were planning on firing the guy with the same name as me, and it was a weird coincidence, and they wanted to replace him with me until they realized I was a psychedelic hippie flower child type, and that more so than he was. It was a like metal punk band, really aggressive sounding band. But I actually hung out with Mike Dean a bit in San Francisco when he lived there, and we were bike messengers. We used to have lunch together, and he'd drink beer at lunch and then go back to be riding his bike in traffic. But yeah, man, they were pretty cool guys, cool cats. I remember seeing them at Space 2 Arcade in Washington, D.C. That was way before I met them, before I formed my band Bomb. It was face melting. It was such loud, fast, tight, aggressive, hardcore punk rock with tinges of metal. It was just blazing, man. And yeah.
A lot of that punk rock scene bled down from DC and came into the Carolinas. There was a I forget Mike's another Mike. He was a young man that I met when I was working on my master's, and he was in the punk scene in an area called Rock Hill, South Carolina. And they had the place the punk bands used to play was the Money until the cops told them they couldn't play there. I don't know how, but we used to go to house bands and our
house parties.
We went into house parties and the band would play. And a lot of these old Southern houses have wooden floors. And the band was just rocking it one night. And Mike was playing and went to go see him. And the entire floor collapsed in the house.
Wow. We'll be back for hour two of Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
I don't know
if I'm seeing
this. The United States government presents
no vision.
Congrats. Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
And that is some Dead Kennedys inspired music by me, Michael W. Dean, on Michael Dean After Dark. I don't use the W on Michael Dean After Dark. It's just Michael W. Dean. It's not Michael W. Dean. You know, people ask me why I use that, and it's not an affectation. It's not in honor of George Bush. I used it before he was W. He kind of wrecked it for a while, but now it's cool again. I use it because there are 6 other published writers named Michael Dean. It's a fairly common name. Michael and Dean are fairly common names. And, you know, if you want to be remembered as a writer, people have to know your name. So I just add the W there. So, you know, when people go on Amazon and search Michael Dean, they don't get the other 5 guys. So we're going to talk about radio today. We got JJ. How you doing, JJ?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm all right. Did you survive the break okay?
I did.
I mean, it's good stuff, and it's good ads, and, you know, we like the news. But there was some weird news in there. It said the U.S. government was trying to make sure that no Edward Snowden event could ever happen again. But, you know, the problem is when you have a Leviathan the size of the United States federal government, and then you have everything is classified or secret that's involved with that, and they have vastly increased the number of documents per year that they call secret or classified, partly just because it's really easy to stamp that on something electronically or with a big rubber stamp, and it makes them feel important. And also because then they have more legal ability to throw people in cages if they discuss it with anybody. But you can't stop another Edward Snowden, because there are 1 million people in America who have security clearances. Mm-hmm. That's a lot, man. That's, you know, 1 in 300 people has a security clearance. And out of that many people, one of them is either going to be, you know, and it might not even be a political stance like Snowden. It might be they're selling it to somebody, you know, to some other government or some corporation, or it might be disgruntled employees, man. They're everywhere, people, especially in the government. So let's talk about radio. What's your past with radio? You're a ham operator, right?
That's correct. I got legal many years ago, but I got involved with ham because...
What is ham radio, for people who don't know?
It's amateur radio service, and it's certified by the FCC, and it has 3 levels of operation. It starts with a technician class, and you sit for 30 questions out of a test pool of around 300, and then you sit for a general license, which allows you to broadcast on not just the ultra-high frequency and very high-frequency bands, but the high-frequency bands that goes up to 160 meters. And I had a penchant for radio anyway, because that was one of the things I did when I was in the Army, and it's one of the things I did when I first got out of college.
Have you noticed that they're trying to appeal to ham? The government is trying to appeal to hams more, to involve them kind of as mini, mm-hmm. mini cops, you know, like, yeah, I mean, doing good things that hams do anyway in a disaster, like coordinating when phone lines are down between emergency services, but also, they're really some hams tend to be really persnickety about turning in people who are broadcasting without a license, even if they're not stepping on anyone. And I think part of it is because people actually believe that because they can answer some math questions and they paid some money to some 3-letter organization, they're special. And they also, you know, they kind of consider it a sleuthing thing, and they have the gear to track these people down. Have you seen that?
Yeah, totally. There was a guy that left his mic open. He was a ham operator, and he left it open on a repeater. And there were other hams that were listening to the mic being open, and they says, "Well, that's a violation right there, because he allowed music to stream over the signal." And they were really waiting for him to say something. Fortunately for the guy in question, because I got to monitor this, the mic turned off. Apparently, he had his either had a talkie in his pocket, or he had a cat lean. You know,
he accidentally bugged his own house, basically.
Right.
And they wanted to turn in their buddy for this.
Yeah, they wanted to turn in their buddy. And that's the dark side of ham radio. And I started – there's a creeping bureaucracy. Like, I wanted to do more emergency radio services, and I found out that when I went to go volunteer –
You're working
to take,
for the DHS when you do that, basically.
Yes. Yeah, I had to take 4 classes from FEMA in order to even get on the roll to be allowed to be involved. It was very odd. But you're right. They are getting more into – they got their fingers more into how hams operate, and they want to get ham radio people kind of in the mold to the DHS. That's what I can see.
I have a friend who's a ham operator who is one of the most – like, I don't like to use the word anarchist. I don't think he'd like that either, but he's one of the most – he's a gun guy, and he's a good gun guy, and he's one of the most, like, the government has no right to know what guns I have or what I do with them kind of guy. He is that kind of guy.
Amen.
But he absolutely hates pirate radio. He absolutely thinks those people should be thrown in a cage because they don't have a license.
I don't want to
– go ahead.
I don't want to diss on your friend, but it seems like a conflicting interest.
Well, there's a lot of people that have a lot of strong opinions that are conflicting. I mean, there's a lot of a classic example would be Rand Paul. He calls himself a libertarian. He talks like his dad. I don't like politicians, but I think that Ron Paul was the only good politician who's ever been alive in America. And that I'm including the founding fathers with that because,
right,
you know, Jefferson owned people. That's not very libertarian. Washington murdered, you know, Revolutionary War vets 12 years after the Revolutionary War because they wouldn't pay taxes on whiskey bigger than the taxes they'd fought over with him. You know, with him, they'd fought over in the war. And, you know, they're all hypocrites. But Ron Paul was like the one shining man holding up the lantern, or, you know, you could hold the lantern up to him and say he was consistent. And his son is kind of being groomed for the Republican. I think they're going to end up running someone else, but you know, he's a spare just in case. They're trying to maybe groom him to try to get all the people that were going to vote for his dad to vote for him. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they'll have him as the vice president under someone like Paul Ryan. And I don't think a Republican's going to win. I think Nancy Pelosi's going to win. I mean, not Nancy. Hillary Clinton's going to win.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I really think the government is becoming less relevant to more people every day, especially when lately government seems to be going after everything that everyone does. And no matter what you do, whether you like ham radio or model trains or Bitcoin or marijuana or guns or – I mean, basically, everything I just named would cover like 90% of America. Like somebody in – everybody in 90% of America like one of those six things I just mentioned. And they're trying to outlaw or heavily regulate all of them, or vaping. You know, like you can't
– that's right. Yeah.
If you like something – what is it? Reagan said something, you know, and I said I hate Reagan, but he said some great stuff. And it was something like, you know, government, if it moves – you know, if it moves, regulate it. If it spends, tax it. If it sits there, license it. You know, he just has this like list of like what they do. It's kind of like the song "Taxman" by the Beatles. You know, if you drive a car, I'll tax your seat. If you do the street, if you try to sit, I'll tax your seat. If you try to breathe, I'll, you know, tax the air. Whatever. So I think what and really the drug war, I think that the drug war has actually had a big unintended consequence of good, which is hard to say, but it really has. And it's basically everybody, if they don't smoke pot, they know someone who smokes pot. And they know that that person's not a bad person and they're not hurting anybody. And you see the drug war and you see the Democrats and the Republicans backing it. And you go, man, government's bad. And actually, I really think that that's what's going to win this election is I think the Democrats are going to run on heavily decriminalizing or legalizing and regulating and taxing marijuana. Mm-hmm. And even the Republicans at the CPAC poll recently said, you know, like a majority of them were in favor of either legalizing pot for medical use or legalizing it for general use. But they all wanted to tax it and regulate it like alcohol. And I'm thinking like, you know, they claim to be small government. How is it small government to want to create a new tax and regulation? But they want to do it. So back to radio. There was this there's this document out there by someone named about how to do pirate radio. It's written by someone in Europe, and we're talking only in Europe. We're not recommending anyone in America go out and buy one of those little Chinese transmitters. but there's a document by some friend of yours. It might even be you. No, it's not you, but it's a guy named Cash Newman. And if people search that, they can see it. It's kind of like the definitive guide. It's kind of an update of an old guide. There used to be a guide called the 1-Watt Revolution. What was that?
The One Watt Revolution came about after, I think, the late 90s. And it stemmed from the Berkeley radio project, Radio Free Berkeley. And they were basically showing people how to – you could go to attend this class. You lived in California. You knew about this.
Oh, I knew some Radio Berkeley people. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so you could go and attend this class.
Weird hippies, man. Lefty weird hippies. But but good engineers.
Excellent engineers. And they had a great idea. They would help people learn how to build their radios. And they would bring the transmitters back to wherever they were at in the United States. Most of the time it was a mono transmitter, not a stereo transmitter like you see, you know, in other places nowadays. But they would bring it back to wherever they were at. They would set up this transmitter and they would go for it. The One Watt Revolution was based on, and I think a guy by the name of Decline Finletter was heavily involved in setting that up. But he basically suggested if we just take one watt transmitters and networked them like the internet. This pretty much existed back before the internet, this concept. And all these people throughout towns would do this, then eventually there would be no way that the FCC could stop these stations, that there would be so many of them proliferated. And that was the idea behind it. It was like instantaneous anarcho-liberty right off the bat.
Now, was this before the internet? I mean, they were not talking about feeding from the same stream because there was no stream at the time. Yeah.
No, it was before the internet, and it was definitely a concept that was before its time. I think that it came about in the 80s. I forget the name of the book written by the guy that was at Berkeley that does the lab out there. Steve, I'm not sure if that's his name or not.
I know he's got long hair and a beard.
That's him. Yeah. That's him. And the suggestion kind of like phased into the punk rock community where you did have a lot of pirate radio. And one of the guys that was there said, well, if we just get everybody with these one watt transmitters all over the place, then they can't do anything. But of course the internet came along and it kind of operated on that same premise. But you had to have like your own library of stuff back then.
Yeah, there was actually a guy who does something called the Micro Effect Radio Network that is kind of a similar idea. We used to be on that network for a minute until they kicked us off because we were too weird. But yeah, we'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm Michael Dean. And I guess I should say, arg, because we're talking about pirate radio. Arg. I don't really like the name pirate radio because pirates were violent people. They were aggression. They committed aggression. They robbed people. And actually, some of them were authorized by the state. They had what called letters of mark, M-A-R-Q-U-E, which allowed people to go out and be pirates for the state. I remember when Ron Paul's answer to killing bin Laden, you know, he said, let's get the troops out of there. We don't need them there. Let's send a little posse and give them a letter of mark, which is a really weird thing that's still in the Constitution and it hasn't been used in a long time. Technically, I mean, they kind of do that anyway when they send those bearded Blackwater soldiers over there that don't have the American flag on them to go murder people, and they're even less accountable than soldiers. But yeah, man, pirate. Is there another word for pirate radio that doesn't invoke eye patches and parrots and blunderbusses and rape and pillage and murder?
Liberty Radio might work better.
I like that.
It's hard to say. But you were talking about pirates. Did you ever hear a zine called Live Free or Die? They talked about pirate utopias, and not all pirates were necessarily contracted by the state. But I remember reading an article about the pirate utopias of Barbados, and the state, of course, swooped in and killed them. But apparently, it was a free-loving libertarian utopia. It was lib pair on Earth. So,
huh? Yeah, kind of. I'm kind of picturing a really rough and tumble lib pair, kind of like. Yeah. Did you ever see the TV show Hell on Wheels?
Yeah, I did.
I'm picturing something like that, but with better rum.
Yeah, it's an amazing article if you can find it on the internet. It's great. But yeah, pirate, it just kind of pigeonholes it into this almost like outlaw thing right off the bat.
Better rum and better weather, because that show takes place in Nebraska and Wyoming, not the Caribbean.
Oh man, I lived in Nebraska once. I know. God, that'll drive you to drinking.
Yeah, it's one state over. I call it, it's just like Wyoming, but flatter and with less culture.
Yeah, Nebraska is not where I wanted. I ended up staying out there. I was going to get married to a girl. She wanted to go to Vegas and get married. And then on top of that, she was taking antidepressants before the winter was out. I was taking her antidepressants, and I wanted to leave.
I thought you were going to say before the wedding. I thought that was her pre-wedding regime was antidepressants.
No, I got out of there before I got hitched. I saw it coming. But that's all they do in Nebraska. They seem to drink and play games downstairs during the middle of the winter. So, not the pirate life.
The pirate life. The life pirate. Yeah. So tell me about when you were in Europe and hanging out with these radio pirates. And, you know, tell me something about the equipment, for instance. And I know that people can go Google Cash Newman and find his PDF. But you saw it firsthand. I've never seen it. So go ahead and tell me about it.
Veronica was one of the companies that would produce these transmitters in I would say the UK, that's in Europe. And what they would do is they a lot of these guys would set up like phone lines, and they could even dial into their transmitters. But they would place these transmitters in very remote locations, because back then the UK did have a pretty bad habit of just storming anywhere that they could find a signal and taking the transmitter anywhere they could. And if you were found anywhere near the transmitter, you were going to jail. And so there was a lot of the planning for setting up a station like that involved remotely placing the transmitter somewhere where you could possibly see it or run a line to it, and having a way that you could get away from the transmitter site if something was to go down. But they would find old buildings, and they would go up on top of these buildings and set up the antenna. A lot of these antennas had to be pre-tuned, and some of the transmitters would be ran off car batteries. I mean, it was pretty elaborate how far they would take pirate radio. I mean, Radio Caroline was on a ship in international water.
I've actually heard of people having those stationary, remote, cheap transmitters that are expendable. And in England, especially, leaving, like, you know, having them in a box somewhere and, mm-hmm. and putting in the box a beer and a note that says, "You found us, mate. Have a beer on us," for the guy who, you know, for the government guy who confiscates it. that's such a thumb in the eye, man, especially since the beer is going to probably be warm, or if it's cold, it's going to be too cold out to drink a beer. So, yeah.
Well, it's England. They like their beers warm sometimes.
So were people making this stuff with tubes or transistors or integrated circuits?
Well, there wasn't a lot of integrated circuits on the boards that I saw, but it was what you would see right now if you went to Radio Free Berkeley. And sounds like the break's coming up here.
Yeah. We'll be back with more on Radio Pirate Arg, Michael Dean After Dark.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. It is After Dark, and this is Michael Dean, and you're listening to me, and I'm talking freedom, liberty, radio, pirates, parrots, eye patches, and blunderbusses with my friend John. And I just came across something interesting here. You can Google this if you want. It's turn a Raspberry Pi computer into an FM transmitter. Do you have a Raspberry Pi, John?
I do not have one here, but I am very familiar with what they are.
I just bought one with Bitcoin. I'm not going to use mine for a radio transmitter. I'm going to use it to actually this transmitter can only reach about 100 yards. I'm going to actually use it to reach the whole world, because I'm going to use it as a Freedom Fiends and Michael W. Dean After Dark, Michael Dean After Dark torrent server. We have about 15 or 20 people who subscribe to our other RSS feed, which is for torrent programs only, who all act as seeders to help keep us drone-proof. And if you're listening, you can go go to freedomfiends.com, and over on the right it says Torrent Club near the top, and you'll have complete instructions on that. But I don't like running a computer 24/7 because they use a lot of energy, and you know they're usually in the same room with me, and they can make noise. It can actually keep me up, because I can be kind of a light sleeper. So Raspberry Pis use about 1/100th of the electricity of a standard desktop computer, and they make no noise because they have no fan. So I'm going to just plug it and play it, and we're actually going to do a thing where this is kind of our legal pirate radio. It's over the internet. We're going to pretty soon start offering pre-configured SD cards. We're going to sell them at cost, and we'll probably pay the shipping in America to send people SD cards that you can stick into a Raspberry Pi and become an instant fiend torrent server. And they are Raspberry Pi is a really revolutionary little computer. It's about the size of a pack of cigarettes. I guess people don't smoke anymore because it's the nannies don't like it. So we got to figure something else to describe it as. It's about the size of a bar of soap, and it's about $35, and it's a little Linux computer on a board that you can actually hook up to through your, you know, Windows or Mac or other Linux computer and control the interface through your other computer, through your network, just by plugging it into your router. It kind of comes up as another window, and you can configure it. It's called a headless computer when you do that, because it does not have its own monitor or keyboard or mouse. So yeah, if you have a Linux computer though, that's you're having problems with it when we before we got on, man.
Yeah, I use a Ubuntu Studio, and it wasn't being very studio-like when we first started.
And that's the one that's supposed to be perfect for media producers. It has video editing, audio editing equipment, or software built into the release, and it has all the drivers for a lot of audio and video gear. But it just wasn't playing well, you know. And and that happens, and I'm fine with that. And Linux is a better system than Windows or Mac, but and you're not one of these guys. I've actually heard guys who are like, Linux is far superior. I'm better than you because I'm a Linux guy. And then they have problems like you had. And I'm like, dude, we're trying to get on the radio. You're, you know, anybody who thinks their computer system is superior to mine, but they personally don't know how, you got it running, so you got to pass. But you know, like I deal with Mac people all the time who think their stuff is better. And they're like, they send me files, I can't open them. Anything I get from anybody on Windows or Linux, I can open it, whether it's audio, video, documents, whatever. But Macs keep you in their own little jails. Somebody once said, Richard Stallman said, Steve Jobs made jail cool. And that's kind of how I feel about Macs.
Yeah, that Macintosh, I've stayed away from all of my life. I've never owned a Mac. So, but the Linux systems, you can put them on there and dual boot. But I've always had Windows as a backup, just in case something happens.
So tell me more about these crazy Brit pirates with birds on their shoulder and blunderbusses in their pants or on their hip that you used to hang out with.
We actually, like I said, of course, being England, they had a lot of ties in with punk rock, and they loved English punk, Sid Vicious, of course. And one night, one of the girls had gotten really upset at the constables. I guess that's what they would call them. And so what she ended up doing was she put outside in front of the actual station area, which none of us knew that she had done this. But it said, international terrorist group meeting here tonight. And she actually painted Mogadishu-looking AK-47s on this. And
put it in front of the police station?
Right, correct. And I was out getting a six-pack or a four-pack of cider because that's what they drink over there. And so I'm starting to come back to where the station's at. And, of course, there's all the constables all over the place. So not a wise idea.
Yeah, you can't make jokes like that anymore.
No.
It's not cool.
Not at all.
You know, really, I mean, I think that that's what 9/11 did was it destroyed American freedom because it gave – the American government, the feeling that they had the right to just suspend the things that made America great. And I don't know how they expect America to, America really does. America's not great anymore in a lot of ways. And that sounds like heresy to people, but people are blind if they think that's true, because, you know, the people that want to beat you up for that are the people that got beat up themselves or watched people get beat up as a kid who dared to question America at all. And the things that made America great really aren't around so much anymore. But people still go around saying, America is the greatest country in the world, American exceptionalism. And it's like, it kind of reminds me of that movie, Sunset Boulevard, that movie from the 50s. You ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
It's about a faded, silent movie star who's about 75, and she still thinks she's a star, but she's not, and she's insane, and she's living in this collapsing mansion on Sunset Boulevard, and, you know, believes that she is still a star to the point where after she murders somebody and the police show up and the reporters show up with the news cameras, she thinks she's still in a movie, and she says, "I'm ready for my close-up, darling." That is the idea of people saying that America is still exceptional.
That's the worst dystopia to live in, is the one you don't realize you're in. And that's what it typified. And that line was iconic with that movie.
It was a great
but
movie.
It definitely, yeah, great.
Yeah. So, arg.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of equipment did these people use? I know you answered that, but you didn't really answer it in detail. I want more detail.
Okay. So, they would simply take a transmitter and most of the time they would take this transmitter and attach it to – do you know a lot about antennas and how it works?
I know that they're easy to spot from a distance, and I'm wondering if they had to hide them somehow.
Right. The basic antenna that you would use in a urban environment would be like a Slim Jim. You would use everything you could except for a dipole.
What's a Slim – I don't know what either of those things are. Or I do, but our listeners don't.
Okay. A Slim Jim is an antenna that's turned in on itself so that the radials of the antenna aren't sticking straight up and down like you would have on a dipole, which is really easy to spot those. A Slim Jim, more like an oval shape, and you can hang that outside of a window and attach that to your transmitter, and you can still get a pretty good range out of it. Ideally, you would like to be in an area where you could have a dipole. A lot of other folks would use great wire, which is like grid square wire, and they would attach it to the top of their house, and in the center of that they would place like a 2 meter CB, or as it was 2 meter ham radio, you would say, antenna, and they would attach that to the transmitter itself. That way they could hide it, but at the same time they could have a little range. The other thing you can use is a 5/8 ground pole antenna, and that's a particular antenna where the dipole has been divided into a 5/8 radial section. And that seemed to be the preferred method of pirates that I did not see stateside, but I heard about.
I've also heard of people using those rubber ducky antennas, like, you know, mm-hmm. the flexible ones with rubber on them, like you'd have on a police walkie-talkie, which don't have as much of a range, but, you know, if they just amp up the power. I've heard of people putting those on rooftops in PVC pipe, you know, because a lot of roofs have PVC pipe sticking up for a couple feet here and there, and it doesn't look that weird from the street. I've heard of people doing that in England.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Yeah, they would basically, you could take like a radio frequency that was at half a watt, and you could run that into a circuit board. And along that circuit board, you would basically set it up so that it would, the transmitter itself would send that signal through what they would call an amp. And the most basic design that they had back in those days was a 6-watt amp. And that gave them a fair bit of range. Over
a few watts is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, no. Most commercial radio is 1,000 watts to 50,000 watts. And what that does is it enables you to get coverage further, but also universally, like, you know, in a basement, in a car, anywhere, behind a mountain, whatever. But with a clear line of sight, I mean, I used to live in Charlottesville, and there were some engineering students there in Virginia who had a 1-watt transmitter with an antenna, you know, that was probably 3 feet high on the top mm-hmm. of a 4-story building that was taller than all the buildings around it. It covered the town, man. I mean, it covered like 10 miles by 10 miles. And they actually, the FCC knew about them and never shut them down. They probably would now, but it was like, oh, it's the college, it's those zany engineering students. They'll probably all be working for us eventually anyway. Yeah. And, you know, they weren't. They had a low pass filter. They were not stepping on another frequency. And mainly, I think it was that they weren't doing anything feisty or political. They were like, you know, they were playing like jazz music, and they were playing and they were giving like the sports scores of the local team, of the school teams, you know, and giving school news. So it was kind of, and I think there's actually, I mean, the FCC basically allows colleges to have up to 100-watt transmitters, but that's with a special license, but that they give away like candy. But these guys just didn't bother to get one. So it worked out.
Yeah, the problem that you have a lot of times with the transmitters that these guys would build by themselves would you have the cycles would be over-modulated, so they would start to bleed into other stations, and that's what caused the problem. And you mentioned low-pass filter. Yeah. Stations that didn't operate with filters usually got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and it's something that is really amazing that amateur radio people like that, and I'm not using that in the ham sense, but, you know, let's say very amateur radio people, you know, they often forget, and it's like that part of the circuit costs like $20 and they just don't bother, or you can buy them for like $40. People don't bother, and it's really important to being a good radio neighbor, I guess we'd say. So we'll be back for the final segment of Michael Dean After Dark. Arg, after this.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean. It's Michael Dean After Dark. It's After Dark, and we're at the end of our show here, but we're going to take a call. Not yet, because I'm going to talk for another minute and let the cuss dump build. Let the cuss dump build. We were talking in the break about Popcorn Sutton. His birthday's coming up, and yeah, he's a rebel. You should look him up. He's big in North Carolina. He's a bootlegger who allegedly killed himself because he was facing federal time. I mean, I would just say the government murdered him because, you know, that happens a lot. That happened with one of our favorite Liberty computer programmers, too. Aaron Schwartz, who had something to do with the development of .bit. And we're going to go ahead and take this call from Andrew in Texas, who wants to talk about free speech. Are you there, Andrew? Yeah. Hey, what's up, Andrew?
How are you all doing?
We're doing great. What's on your mind? It's the last segment.
Last segment in short. I just want to say, Michael, thank you for this new show. I appreciate the hell out of it.
You appreciate the heck out of it, do you? It's radio.
The heck out of it.
Cool, man. How did you find us?
Well, I've been a Freedom Fiend fan, Free Talk Live listener for many, many years. And basically, Free Talk Live got me into listening to the Fiends, and I actually prefer your show a lot more now since I've been educated. You know, like, I prefer prefer you and Nima and this new show a lot more than Free Talk Live, basically. So kind of how I got introduced.
Well, give us 10 years after we've been doing it 10 years. You know, basically in 10 years, what I'm doing is I'm training the people to replace me. So to keep it fresh, and that's what this show is
exactly.
about. You know, John, John's never been on syndicated radio with a show clock and ads before, have you, John?
No, just on the fringes.
Yep, he did pretty good. So, Andrew, have you checked out meowbit.com?
I actually have not checked out meowbit.com, but I did do my DNS servers. I didn't want to download that whole Namecoin blockchain already.
Do it.
And the Dogecoin
blockchain. Do it, because
I wanted to thank you, Michael, for being the cheerleader for this.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to wake people up. I've been hearing all your audio on, you know, all of the Liberty Media and for what you're doing and the lack of sleep you're getting, man. All props to you, sir.
Excellent, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I would not do the DNS server change thing because it's not secure. You don't know whose DNS servers you're going through. And
exactly.
With the Meowbit, you're going through your normal DNS servers. You have the blockchain. And it only takes 3 or 5 hours to download the first time. It's like you do it overnight, man. It's it's like doing a Windows update. It just takes longer. You just do it overnight.
I actually have an old desktop computer that I was going to dedicate just to that alone, actually.
There you go.
I was not going to overload my poor little laptop.
Yep. And, get some Namecoin. If you don't have any Namecoin, send me your Namecoin address. I'll send you, like, 0.1 Namecoin, like 30 cents worth or something to get you started, and you can register a domain name, and you can set up a .bit site. And if you send us the link to it, we'll post it on meowbit.com on our list of working .bit sites.
Excellent. I will give you all a donation of some Bitcoins for that.
Cool man. Make sure you use the Fiends one or the Meowbit one, not the other one that was going around, because I'm not involved in that other project anymore, the Free Speech Me one.
And so this Michael Dean After Dark, you guys are not on any radio stations currently, right?
We might be on some amateur low-powered ones. I don't know. I couldn't say. But we're not on any commercial stations yet. Oh, actually, we are on one above-ground station. It's in Texas. What's that little low-powered station? It's like the most famous low-powered station in the country. Do you know, John? Lakeshore Radio.
Lakeshore AM.
We're on Lakeshore Radio in, Denton, Tech. No, it's somewhere in Texas. I'd have to look it up. I don't have time to look it up. But they're great people, and they carry the Fiends, and they carry Free Talk Live. And they are 100 milliwatts, but they cover a giant area for that. The guy has his antenna perfectly tuned. It's legal. The FCC knows about him. And, I know that we're on that one station.
Excellent. So you do have to follow those FCC rules, just making sure about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's called the Part 15 rules. It's basically like what enables you to have a garage door opener without a license, but it can be taken to the limit of to where you can go like a mile in each direction. It's Lakeshore Radio. It's in Rowlett, Texas. Are you anywhere near that? It's near Dallas.
I don't think so. I'm just a little bit in between Austin and San Antonio.
Okay. So. Well, yeah, we're on the Freedom Fiends are on a station in Amarillo on Sundays. I know that, but that's not anywhere. Texas is huge, man. It's like got 9 time zones or something. All right. Thank you for your call, Andrew. I really appreciate it. And keep in touch.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the new show, Michael.
Yep. Worms. Say worms.
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 Yep. All right. Worms. Well, it's been a good show, John. Thanks for being on.
Amen, man.
You'll be back next Monday. And tomorrow night's guest will be Bill Buport. Tomorrow and the next night, the incomparable Bill Buport on Michael Dean After Dark. So take care, y'all.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.